Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the power of faith-filled words was recorded at the 2011 Grace and Faith Conference in the UK and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
And you know, there's a lot of people that just, you aren't willing to fight over this. It's not that big of a deal. This will make you stand out in a crowd. I've been in church before where they stand up and prophesy, "Thus saith the Lord, I am angry. Yea, I am upset with you." When the Lord said he'd never be angry with us nor rebuke us. And I've had to stand up and say, "No, according to the word of God, he'll never be angry with me." And I counter those words. There's a lot of you that wouldn't do that. And you know what? Every time you listen to a person speak things you know to be contrary to the word of God, your heart, you feel it in your heart. You're grieved in your heart. And yet many of you will sit there and let people speak negative things, lies over you. And it confuses your heart. And after a while, your heart thinks, well, he doesn't believe what he says. He doesn't stand by what he says. You can't keep negative words from coming. Even if you quit listening to all of the wrong TV and all of the stuff and quit reading the magazines and the newspaper, and even if you did all that, you're still going to hear some junk. You live in the world, and we are going to hear some contrary stuff. How do you deal with it? Right here it says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, you shall condemn." To me, this is the key right here. As much as you can, quit listening to things that corrupt you. And somebody says, "Well, I can watch these movies and I can listen to this stuff and I'm just strong enough, it doesn't corrupt me." 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." If you're saying, "I'm strong enough and it doesn't bother me," you are deceived. I happen to believe the word of God more than I believe you. And you say, "I'm not deceived. I'm strong enough. It doesn't hurt me." The Bible says you're deceived if you think that evil communications don't corrupt good manners. You're deceived. Quit listening to it. How do you do that? Well, as much as you can, withdraw yourself from it. Take a stand. But you still are going to be exposed to some stuff just because we live in a negative world. So how do you deal with those things? You condemn it. It says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You have to condemn it. The word condemn means judge it. Say that, no, this is wrong. You know, the way I listen to the news primarily is I have an hour's drive into the office and I turn on the radio because they give you 2 or 3 minute sound bites of news rather than watching 30 minutes on television and have to deal with all of those lies and deception. I just deal with 2 or 3 minutes. And even doing that, they'll come on and say, "It's flu season. Have you gotten your flu shot yet?" And you can ask Jamie. We'll be driving along and I'll say, "No, it's not flu season for me. In the name of Jesus, by his stripes, I'm healed." There is never a time that the word of God doesn't work. Every time a commercial comes on for something that is about sickness and disease and about getting older and whatever it is, I'll sit there and I'll talk to it. I'll condemn it. I'll say, "That's not for me. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that stuff." They'll say, "Take care." And I'll say, "For nothing." Man, I just don't listen to stuff like that. And I counter it. And I found that if I counter it right then, if I deal with it the moment I hear it, it's like that seed never gets on the inside of me. It never starts putting down roots. It rolls off my back. But if I, for whatever reason, or am afraid, or I don't want to offend somebody, so I won't say something and I just kind of let it I don't say anything. Did you know I get home and that thing has already started taking root on the inside of me? And I have to get into the Word and start praying and countering. It may take me 15 or 20 minutes or an hour to get that unbelief, that negative thing that was spoken in me out. And so I've just learned to counter things when I hear it. I speak something right then. I know some of you think, man, I can't imagine how I would apply this in my life. Some of you live with a person that just speaks negative all of the time. I don't know how to apply it to your situation, but the principle is here. If you just let things go, then it's going to cause problems in your life. You have to get to where when you hear negative words that contradict what God's Word says, you have to speak and condemn it right then. And if you do that, it just solves a lot of problems. You know, my mother had a hyperthyroid, and she took thyroid medication her entire life from the time she was a little girl until she was in her 80s. And she heard me talking about these things, and she started trying to believe God, and she was trying to believe God for her healing, but she just was really struggling with this. Anyway, one night I remember talking to her. I talked to her for 2 or 3 hours and finally just prayed with her. And I remember going in and looking on a calendar, and she wrote on this calendar, "From this time on, I will stand on the Word of God, and by His stripes I'm healed." And she threw away her medication and she was fine. And for a month or two, my mother was just doing really good and seeing healings and things happen. And then she went to visit my aunt that raised her. And I told her, I said, "Mother, when you go down there to visit my aunt," I said, "all you do is talk about who's died lately. You catch up on who's dead, who's got this sickness, and you talk sickness and you talk death." And I said, I understand that you're interested in these people, but I said, "you're going to have to counter it and start speaking that this isn't the way it has to be, that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed." I sure wish that they understood that they could believe God and be healed instead of just stay sick. You're going to have to start speaking the Word of God over this, or this will counter the stand that you've taken in faith. And I remember my mother telling me, "but she raised me. This is the woman that raised me. I can't show disrespect to her." And I said, "you can do it as nice as you want to do it, but you got to do it. You got to stand. You got to speak against that stuff." And my mother said, "I'm just not sure that I can do it." And so sure enough, she went down to visit her. And by the time she got back, she had a cold. She was sick. And she says, "I just couldn't do it." And so Jamie and I, and at that time we had our first son, he was only a few months old, we were going on a trip. And we went on this trip, and my mother was so upset with herself, and she knew what had happened, and she just gave up even trying to speak the Word and stuff. She just was really discouraged. And so the very first day, I had Joshua sitting on my lap, and the air conditioning was blowing on him. And she says, "oh, don't sit him there. He'll get a cold." And I said, "no, he will not get a cold in the name of Jesus." I countered those words just like what I'm talking about. And then she says, "oh, don't let him around me. He'll catch my cold." And I said, "no, he's not going to catch your cold." I said, "we don't believe in that." And I just countered everything she said. And it was like this all day long, just fighting back and forth. And we got into a motel room that night, and we all stayed in the same motel room. Jamie and I were in one bed. My mother is in a bed. And then we had a little rollaway bed that we put Joshua in. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, he woke up with a cold and this rasp in his voice. You could hear him breathing in the next room. It was really bad. And so I got up and I'd pray over him in tongues and rebuke this, and he'd be fine. And I'd put him down, and within 30 minutes or an hour, he'd be back up with this thing. And I did that for 2 or 3 times, up and down. And the lights were off while I was doing this, but everybody in the room could hear me praying over him. And so the last time I prayed over him and he was okay, he was breathing okay, I put him back down. I was headed to my bed and the lights were off, and my mother just said, "admit it, Andy, he's sick." And you know, I'm not saying that you have to do things the way I did. Hopefully you are more mature than I was. But you know what? What you've got to do the same thing I did, maybe with more tact. But even though it was dark, I got right down in my mother's face and I said, "Satan, in the name of Jesus, I break your curse. I command this stuff to stop. I will not receive your death spoken over my child." And I told the devil where to go. And did you know that Joshua never woke up again during the night, never had a cold, never had a cough anymore? It was over. And on 6 days of vacation, my mother never spoke to me. And finally, I just said, "Say something." And she says, "I'm sorry, you think I'm the devil." And I told her, I said, "Mother, I don't think you're the..." It's the same thing that Jesus did with Peter when he said, "Satan, get behind me." You know, some people don't understand that in the 16th chapter of Matthew, but Jesus had just prophesied that "I am going to be crucified, but the third day I will rise again." And Peter said, "That be far from you, Lord. We aren't going to let anybody take you." Did you know most people would think, "Well, wasn't that nice what he said?" No, it was contrary to what God had told him. It was statements of unbelief. And Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus didn't want to die in the natural. And for somebody to speak something that would feed his flesh and encourage him that, "No, you don't have to do it this way. There's bound to be another way." That was unbelief. And Jesus turned right around and said, "Get behind me, Satan, because you savor not the things that be of God."
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the power of faith-filled words. This 5-part teaching series was recorded at the 2011 Grace and Faith Conference in Buxton, England. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1075 for CD or R3218 for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RD10 titled "Speak to the Mountain About God" when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to go to our website. It's awmi.net and check it out. I tell you, we have, I believe, the best website around. I have thousands of my television programs and two or three times as many of my radio programs that are there on the web available to you free of charge. We also have testimonies, other people that have been healed. We have just a wealth of things there, commentary and other things. So check it out. It's really powerful. Most of it is free. I have probably 400, 500 downloads that are absolutely free. So check it out, awmi.net. And visit our website today.